You can turn in your Bible to the book of Amos. You thought I was going to say Revelation, didn't you? Amos chapter 5, so Old Testament. I'm going to read a verse out of there this morning. And then we're going to flip to Revelation, what we focus on. Now, this is part two of this series of the church in Thyatira. And remember how we left off? I want to talk to you about what does tolerance look like in the church, but also in our society today, and how that's changed, and what's going on today in the culture, and so on. And so we're going to go there. Amos chapter 5, verse 13. Now let me just tell you, the prophet Amos is speaking these words. The land was evil. It was corrupt when he's speaking this. And this is approximately about 750 B.C. So get that in your mind as well, the time frame that Amos is speaking this. And this still speaks to us today very, very strongly. One verse, but we'll dig into this verse once we get into the message. You'll see it come out this morning. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. I'm going to leave it at that. All right? But let me read that to you one more time so you get this down. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Okay, now let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, which I think is 29. Follow along with me as I read. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter, and I will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you bless our time together here today. May your Spirit fill me and give me words to speak from your pulpit. And I pray that these are your words today and never mine. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your presence today, that you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your message today. Lord, may you bring this word to life. In Jesus we pray, amen. There were a couple of hunters that chartered a plane, and they flew into Canada for a hunting trip. And so they chartered the plane, and they landed on this lake, and they were to go moose hunting. And so they decided that they wanted to get this done, and 2 weeks later, the plane flies back in, and from the distance, the pilot sees two men there, and he had told them when he dropped them off, we don't have a lot of room for much weight besides you, so you get one moose. You get one moose to take back. And he sees him coming in, he lands on the water, and he gets to the dock, and he sees the two hunters there, and there are two moose there. And he gets out, and he says to the guys, I told you, I can only take one moose, because it would be too heavy for the plane, we won't be able to get up. And so the hunter said, well, last year, they allowed me to take two moose and two of us, and it worked just fine. Why can't we do it again? And the hunter said, well, if it worked last year, I guess, why don't we try it? So they loaded the moose into the plane, they got into the plane, and they got going, and they started, thought they were going to clear over the brush line, and they crashed the plane. And the hunters, they get out of the plane, and they kind of look and they observe, where are we? And the one hunter looks at the other one, and he says, about a half mile further than we made it last year. Right? So here's my question for you this morning. When you deal with those types of situations, what is our responsibility, or what do we have as a responsibility in the way that we live when it comes to the truth of God's word and tolerance? What should we accept? What should we be responsible for in our lives to live a godly life? Because we could bend the rules like the hunters, right? And say to the pilot, well, come on, we tried it last year. Why don't we do it again? So what does that look like in your faith walk? Truth and tolerance this morning. And that's going to be my challenge for you today. What should tolerance look like in our lives as it pertains to the world that you and I live in? And the reason that I bring you this message this morning is because of the way tolerance has assumed such a great importance as a value in today's society. It's held very high. Now, it can be a good thing. And in fact, we're told that as Christians, as believers in Christ, we are to be tolerant people. Patient, kind, gentle, loving, compassionate. Those are good things. And the Bible says you as a Christian must tolerate those things. You must live like that in your life. But it has been more like this lately. It's like allowing, accommodating, approving of. Jesus said to the church in Thyatira, any of these types are not good. You're starting to bend the rules, is what he said to this church. And certainly the church should not approve of idolatry or sexual immorality. And because it happened in the church, they should just not let it go either, is what he's saying. This is sin. Call it what it is, he said. And so the church has a responsibility to encourage, to expect, and even enforce patterns of living that reflect the nature and character of God. And anything outside of that nature and character of God, Jesus says, I don't want that in my church. Now, we know that it happens. Sin occurs. But we're also told to flee from it and repent of it. Go the other way as fast as you can. The church has a responsibility to adhere to the truth of Scripture. So let me share with you this morning the original definition of tolerance. On the top in the blue box, if you can see that this morning, originally tolerance meant to acknowledge that others have differing beliefs and accept that it is their right to do so. Right? And now if you want to change that belief, we are supposed to disciple them, meaning that you build a relationship with them, you get to know them, and over time you share your belief in Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit do the work as well in the person that you are tolerating that is different than you and I. That's kind of how it's supposed to look. In fact, I would almost say that that's a biblical definition of tolerance. Now notice the sign that I have on the screen this morning. The word tolerance includes many different things. You could see different religions, human sexuality issues in there, and maybe some other things. But the world wants to put it all into one pot and say there's many ways to heaven, many ways to God, besides Jesus Christ. And then here's this new definition that I think that the culture has accepted and our society has embraced, and here's what it is. The new definition of tolerance means accepting that those other beliefs are true. That's what society's trying to tell us today. And there's something about you and I as Christians, we don't get to believe that. We cannot do that. That crosses the line in our faith. That's why you're so challenged today. Take a look at the country we live in today. tolerance at this new definition has been given a very significant place. And you know what the old definition is, and we are supposed to live by that. That's what God tells us to, and so on. But by definition, it means that the disposition of being patient with the opinions or practices of others, or even so far as government policies go, that we're supposed to accept and even believe that all that is true and fine. Galatians 4, verse 8. I don't have that on the screen here this morning, but if you have it on your outline, you'll see it. But here's what it says. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods, meaning that before you knew that it was sinful, you didn't care. You're okay with anything that goes on in this world. Your values, your morals, they're not come against because you don't know sin, and you probably don't know God in the midst of that sin, and so you are not challenged, you're not upset by this new definition, and so on. But if you're a Christian and you're a believer, and you hold to those Christian values and those morals, when this new definition comes at you, it's going to bother you in a great way. This is what the church is facing today. Again, notice I say again. We live in a Christian country. In a Western democracy with a history that owes a great deal to the church and the Christians who have steered much of the freedom that you and I enjoy today. The benefits of living in a free country in the United States of America was built on Christian values by Christian people and has been blessed by God for many years. However, our society has many with opinions and practices that differ from the truth of Scripture today. And we are asked to tolerate them under this new definition. That's what society is asking of us. Church, accept the way we live. Accept the practices that we do. In fact, we want you to bless us for the things that we do, and we want you to accept that this is no longer sin and that this is okay. That's today's world that you and I live in. That is exactly what Jesus was addressing to this church in Thyatira when he said, "You tolerate this woman Jezebel." Now, that's got a broad definition. We learned about her life last week. But our definition of being tolerant, being kind, loving others who differ from our belief, praying for them has not changed, right? So make sure you get that in your head and you understand that this morning. And pardon my words, but we are called by God to love the hell out of people, literally. That's what you're called to do. How are you doing? You're called to pull them back from the edge of sin. Show them what eternal life with Jesus Christ looks like as the church. That's your job. But today, we find the use of that word tolerance in America goes beyond being patient with the opinions and practices of others. It has moved to approving them, affirming them, and from that to celebrating them. Now, I'm not against people who are in these lifestyles and they do that kind of a thing. And you know what I'm talking about. And it's just not tied to human sexuality. It includes all kinds of sin in the way that people are believing. And no longer do we have that truth, the foundation of the Word of God that we steer off of today in our society. Truth is what you feel, what you think. It no longer comes from the Word of God in many cases. Do you see the shift of direction, the shift of emphasis? And this is why I wanted to bring back this sermon to you today. When I begin to unpack the church in Thyatira, it speaks to us so greatly today, especially to our American culture and the society that we live in today. Talk about this church just a little bit more. While I'm sure Thyatira tolerated the practices of the society, in which they lived, because there were good things going on in that church. Remember, I told you about that. They were to show patience, and I think they did. They drew others in. They were growing. They were busy. They were alive. They spoke the truth there. And then you might ask this question of me. Isn't it harsh to be judgmental towards someone, especially in the church? That might be a good question for us to think about this morning, because it's not my job to judge, nor should I be judgmental towards others. I have just as much sin as the next person does. But verse 21, Revelation, if you have your Bible still open yet, and I'll read that to you, we find this person and her followers have been given time to repent. It's on the screen in the yellow box this morning. Jesus says to them, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's not willing. She had her chance. And God gives us chance after chance after chance to come back to him and repent of that sin. But he says to her, she won't change her ways. God had been kind to her. I'm sure that God probably brought gentle correction through somebody in the church at first. And then he maybe even had even more direct correlation to her sin somehow. We don't know how. But in the face of unrepentant, willful sin, there seems to be serious consequences, is what Jesus says to you and I. Things that we know we do and that we don't turn away from. And so that brings me to this question this morning. We are the church. And so does the church in general, think of the big picture now, does the church commit adultery with the world today? Yes, by no, they're definitely. You and I, we commit adultery against God as a church, as a people, in the society that we live in. And you might be thinking, that's kind of harsh. But tell me this. When's the last time that you and I have left something undone or ignored God's call to do something or deliberately know that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing? It's against the teachings of Scripture. And we could all get in line and say, yep, we've been there. And I know that there's grace and there's forgiveness, and that's why Jesus came. And I get that. And I want you to understand that this morning. This is not a sermon about condemnation and that we're all going to hell. That's not what I'm getting at. What I want to make you aware of is that there are people out there that are going to try to change you and I and how we believe and what's truth in Scripture. That's what I want you to get. So then why are Jezebel's ways such a big issue for the Lord? Why is he so harsh and direct right to Jezebel, saying she's sexually immoral, she's drawing people away, and I can't tolerate it, is what Jesus says. And here's why. This is why you need to know this morning, because it obscures the clear message, the content, and the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It covers it up. It becomes the idol in the church's life. And they can no longer see the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, some can, but many were being blinded. And they were accepting Jezebel's ways in the church. And Jesus calls them out on it. Said, I will not tolerate that. That will not happen in my church. That's not how we're going to live. The sin becomes the idol. Now, there's another verse that I want to talk to you about this morning, and I encourage you to have your Bible open to chapter 2. Go to verse 24. I'll read that just in a minute. There's a verse in here. It reveals something behind what is happening with the woman called Jezebel. A little bit more depth to what's happening inside this church and the life of Jezebel and those who patronize her and so on are influenced by her in their life. It's the phrase, have not learned the so-called deep things of Satan. See that in there? What does that mean? from the distance of 2,000 years ago when this is wrote, it's impossible to know for sure exactly what Jesus was getting at, but we have some ideas, kind of broad things I want to make you aware of here this morning. It's suspected that this false teacher, now remember, she wasn't named Jezebel, but she acted a lot like Jezebel from the Old Testament. It is expected that this false teacher was attracting a following, and she was offering deep teachings against the truth of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Significant change. Things that altered what the church believed in. And more or less what it's saying is that it equates to major shifts of untruth and unbiblical teachings that were being accepted by the church. That's what Jesus warned them about. 1 Timothy 4, verse 3 on the bottom of your screen. Listen to this as I talk about this. Read this to you. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They'll have pastors and people who will fill their personal needs and reaffirm their lifestyles or their beliefs or whatever it might be. 1 Timothy warns of that. That there will be false teachers in the land and people will fall into that trap. And people will live how they want to because it pleases them. So here's the question that I want you to think about this morning. The question of being obedient to God will always challenge us. And I'll drive this home in a little more here. You're going to get a bigger question of depth that I want you to come out of here with this morning. But there's one other verse that I want to share with you this morning that speaks greatly in our day. And that's the verse out of Amos 5 verse 13. This just kind of hit me like a load of bricks this week because I was studying this. It says, therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Now, when I read that for face value, I think, okay, those who are biblical and adhere to the truth of Scripture, they just keep their mouth shut because they don't want to get in trouble. That's what I think that means. But then when I went back and read it, this is what Amos is trying to say to the people. Remember, when did I tell you Amos spoke this? 750 BC. And this is what Amos is trying to tell the people that gathered there that day. He said that the times will be so evil that people will no longer tolerate the truth of the Word of God. They will not adhere to it. They will have nothing to do with it. They will not listen to it anymore. Boy, what does that sound like? See, Jesus is telling the church in Thyatira the same thing, 80, 90 AD, and here we sit, 2020 AD, hearing the same words again. The society will not tolerate the truth. They will push away from it. They will resist it. They want nothing to do with the Word of God. Wow. That's going on in our society today. It's nothing new. But Jesus says, church, Christian, be aware that this goes on. Be on guard. And so here's my real question for you today. In the midst that I've been talking to you about tolerance, of what Christian tolerance looks like and what the new definition I think is today, and here's the question that I want you to think about. Will you and I remain obedient to God in the midst of the world that we live in? That's the question that we need to really take a look at, you and I as followers of Christ. Are we going to remain obedient in the midst of all the things that you and I are going to encounter in our lives? Because the world will gently keep pulling. My challenge to you this morning. But let me finish with this. There is also great encouragement given to this church. Revelation 2 verse 25. You need to hear the encouragement as well. And Jesus says to those, there's a sect of believers in the church. They've stayed true to God and His teachings. It's been difficult. I'm sure there's others in the church that said, you know, why don't you just stop being a stick in the mud and come and join us, right? But Jesus said, some of you have got this figured out. You hold to the truth of my teaching. You hold to the truth of what's going on in the church. You try to live as obediently as possible. I know that you're still sinners. And He says to them, hold on to what you have till I come. Hold on to that faith, He says. You've got it figured out. Now let me talk to you. What do you think the word, and those who do will receive the morning star? Who's the morning star, people? Jesus Christ. It's the gift of salvation, is what He says to those who hold on. You will receive the morning star, the bright new day of Jesus Christ in your life, of eternal salvation with Him. That's the morning star. That's what He gives to the church as well. There are believers and unbelievers in every church. Not everybody in this church today will go to heaven. That's what the Bible says. Now, I hope I'm wrong today, but He says there will always be tares among the wheat. And Jesus speaks it again. He says, hold on to the truth, people. Don't let it slip from you. And Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear. I hope you all hear that this morning as we worship here. Never should we allow ongoing sin to change or lead the church, whether it's an individual or whether it's as a whole in the church. Now, that doesn't mean that we condemn or drive people out or draw lines. That means we walk alongside people with love and compassion, and we build relationships, and we welcome those who have fallen into sin and bring them back into the fold. That's what that looks like. That's hard work. That's not easy. But that's what you and I are called to do. And all of God's people said,